Welcome. I'm Rose Aguilar, and this is Your Call. In Louisiana, along an 85-mile-long stretch of the Mississippi River, towns and cities are surrounded by petrochemical plants. 200 oil refineries and petrochemical plants have transformed the landscape between New Orleans and Baton Rouge and exposed the predominantly African-American residents to cancer-causing toxic pollutants and contaminated water and soil. According to a ProPublica Times-Picayune, the New Orleans Advocate investigative series, Polluters Paradise, many of the new plants planned in Louisiana are being built in or near communities that have some of the most toxic air in the country. The residents are mostly African American and low income. Residents refer to this region as Cancer Alley or Death Alley. Activist and organizer Sharon Levine grew up in Welcome, Louisiana, in St. James Parish along the Mississippi River. She says oil refineries and petrochemical plants have turned St. James Parish, a vibrant place, into a nightmare of industrial pollution and disease. Sharon Levine is an organizer and founder of Rise St. James, a grassroots faith-based organization fighting for the removal of harmful petrochemicals from the area. Sharon and her neighbors and activists are fighting to stop a $9 billion petrochemical complex proposed by the Taiwanese conglomerate Formosa Plastic Group. Activists say the plant will drastically increase toxic levels of cancer-causing chemicals in the area. Hi, Sharon. Thank you so much for joining us.
Hi. It's nice to be with you.
Well, it's great to have you. We're also joined by Mark Shelfstein, environment reporter for the New Orleans Advocate, the Times-Picayune. Mark's reporting on Katrina was among the Times' stories honored with 2006 Pulitzer Prizes for Public Service and Breaking News Reporting. Mark is co-author of the 2006 book, Path of Destruction, The Devastation of New Orleans and the Coming Age of Superstorms. He's co-author of the award-winning 2002 series, Washing Away, which warned that New Orleans could be flooded by a hurricane storm surge. Hi, Mark. Thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, thank you for asking.
Well, it's great to have you. Sharon, I want to start off with you. For people who are not familiar with the area or haven't been there, you know, we often hear about Cancer Alley in the media. And again, it's important to note that residents refer to the region as Cancer Alley. Can you just describe what the area looks like, what it feels like?
Well, the air is toxic. We can't stay outside for long periods of time without getting rashes. And breathing the air, it smells so bad. Certain times of the night, the chemical plants let off emissions, a lot of emissions. When you get up in the morning to go to work, but I would leave my house at 6:30 in the morning, and that odor would be so bad you'll want to go back in your house. It's just that bad. So where I live, they have 12 on my side of the river. They have 9 on the opposite side of the river on the east bank. And now they want to put this $9.4 billion industry to pollute us even more. Inside this industry is going to be 14 other plants inside of the big complex. And I think we have enough. We already can't breathe the air. We can't drink the water. We can't plant a garden. So they want to just wipe us out. They want our community to just they want us to die out because they're not buying us out. But I don't want to be bought out, but I'm just saying, because I feel like I've been here all my life in St. James, and I don't feel like I should move to make room for a petrochemical plant to come in.
Sharon, when you say there are 12 on your side of the river, you're talking about 12 plants?
12 plants, tank farms. Most of them are plants and a whole lot of tanks, so many tanks in St. James on my side of the river. Crude oil tanks. They build these things and they put crude oil in them or whatever, storage tanks. And one of them, it emits stuff in the air because we had a flare camera to see it. And you can see it gushes out. And they can't put any more here. I'm not going to allow it. I'm sorry, but they're not coming in St. James.
What was
if they come in here, we're not going to live.
What was the area like, Sharon, when you were a child?
Oh, when I was a child, everything was wonderful. We lived off the land. We had gardens. We planted our gardens. We had food, animals. We had our own meats. My daddy raised our hogs, cows, chickens, eggs, milk. We didn't have to buy any food. Mm. Everything, the air was clean. We would drink the water from the hydrant. We can't do that anymore.
Mm-mm. Wow. So you really lived off the land when you were a child, and you've seen drastic, drastic changes over your life.
And I was never sick. None of us were sick. Mm. Now we're sick. Everyone over here has some type of problem, some kind of ailment. I'm sick right now, but I'm not going to roll over and let them take my land and take our community. No, it's not going to happen. We have enough, and we're standing up. We have enough.
Mark, what would you add? Can you also describe what the area looks like, smells like, feels like?
Sure. So this is the area along the Mississippi River in Louisiana used to be large plantations. And after the Civil War, portions of that of the plantations were broken out and became places where former slaves lived, and those became the communities that you see in the area. But it's been a mix of white and black residents throughout the community, and the problem has been that in the early days, when these chemical plants first started moving to Louisiana, African Americans did not have either the right to vote or the ability to vote because of the regulations that were in place at the time, and had little say about where these facilities went. They went to places that were cheap, that had access to the river for shipping, access to the river for a water source for the chemical facilities, in the region, there are salt domes, underground salt formations that are used for making chlorine and chemicals. And, of course, you have all of the oil and gas in the region that is moved by pipeline up the river. So these chemical plants have grown in number and in size over the years. And right now we're in the midst of a major war until the COVID problem came in. We're in the midst of a major expansion of chemical plants throughout the entire area. And the new plants are going in where the old plants already are. So in locations like with the Formosa facility, it's going into a community that already has a significant amount of pollution coming out of these facilities.
Mark, as Sharon said, there are 12 plants on her side of the river, 9 on the other side of the river. So, for example, if you drive along the 85-mile-long stretch and you pass all of these towns and cities, is this what you see, just plant after plant?
Very much so. The chemical facilities are huge and have all sorts of equipment in them. The fence lines are right up against River Road in many places, and which is the main drag going all the way through that area between New Orleans and Baton Rouge. And then spaced in between them are towns, and then back behind them is farmland, either to the east side of the chemical plants on the east bank or to the west side on the west bank.
Can you give us a little more history, Mark? Can you talk about why these plants, these corporations, decided to build so many plants in this area?
Again, it's because of the location of the Mississippi River, number one. Cheap access. You get your product is able to be shipped by ocean-going vessels out to the Gulf of Mexico and then around the world. That's number one. And then Just the raw materials are available here. You've got oil and gas that in the early days of the 20th century through about 1980 was largely from onshore exploration in Louisiana, but also from other places, all of which ended up with large pipelines coming up the river and providing those facilities with the raw resources that they needed. Today, a lot more of that oil and gas is coming from offshore or from fracking in the northwest part of the state. And again, pipelines are bringing it into those areas.
Sharon, what would you add when we're talking about why so many of these companies decided to open these plants in your area?
Because we are a black neighborhood, mm-hmm. and a lot of the industry bought a lot of the white people out, but the poor white people are still here, and the rest of us are poor black people. They didn't offer to buy the blacks out. They offered to buy the whites out, but not the blacks. Mm-hmm. And the whites that was living close to the blacks, they didn't offer to buy them out. So they are stuck here. They are trying to help us fight this. Mm-hmm. All of us are in this together, and they are helping us, and we're working together to try to stay here. This is where we want to stay. But they don't care. They want to just let us die out, because my son lives in the town where I was born and raised. He has two chemical plants on both sides of him. He's in the middle like a sandwich. There's another little street called Burden Lane. There's two industries on each side of them. They asked to be bought out. They told them no. This other plant came from China. It's called YCI. They bought our high school. We didn't even know it was sold. I was working at the school at the time when they had a meeting for the community to come, and that's when they told us they had bought our high school. Then these people, they come in here, they move in here, they're banging, making noise at night. People can't sleep. People calling me on the phone to tell me something happened. I have to call the police to go check it out to see what's happened. The people telling me there's nothing you could do about this. Once the industry come in here with all their money, we don't have money, so they have money, so money talk. So we don't have a voice, but I have a voice, and I'm going to speak up. They are not coming here. And if I have a say-so, I'm going to stop the one that's being built right next to the high school. They bought our school, put us out of our school, and we had to build another school somewhere else. I had to drive further to work. They come in here, they act like they don't have any people here. We have people here. I don't know if they have a map. I was told that there's a map, but there's no people here. So the people from Taiwan and China, they don't think there are people here. Then when they get here, they see we do have people here. And they talk to the politicians. They don't talk to the citizens. When we find out about it, it's already signed and sealed. But I don't think so, not with this one. This one coming 2 miles from my home, I don't think so. I don't think so.
So there are no community meetings at all to let people know what's going to happen? You're finding out about this after the fact?
After the fact. We elect these people in office. They don't tell us anything. They make deals with these people. Then when we find out about it, it's already done. It's already signed. And it's been going on for years, and we didn't know. And so now we're finding out, and we're speaking up. Our politicians, we have 7 elected officials in St. James. We have 7 districts. All of them voted for Formosa to come in here. Tell us Formosa was coming in here.
And these are Democrats and Republicans?
Yes.
Mark,
we don't need them if we have to do the fighting. Mm. Rise St. James have to stand up there and tell the community what's going on. Rise St. James is doing that. If I hadn't formed Rise St. James, Wan Wan would have been in here in the 4th District. They would have been already built. And if I hadn't been for me, Formosa would have been started. But my group, me and my group, is the reason why they haven't started yet. Because we're speaking out.
We should say, Sharon, that the governor of Louisiana, John Bel Edwards, is a Democrat.
Yes.
And what is his position on this plant?
He approved it. In 2018, I was in my classroom when I found out he was celebrating in St. James the approval of this plant. Didn't talk to us, talk to the politicians. Didn't talk to the citizens. They disregard the citizens. It's just like our politicians are bought off. Just like the governor. So they don't care about us. All they care about is the money. But this industry wanted to come in his town, and the parish president in his town said no. But our parish president said yes. It's all about money. It's not about our lives. The same parish president that said yes, he's sick right now. He's out of office. A lot of them are sick. One man said that he's sorry he voted for Formosa to come in here. So we asking them to go back and rescind their decision. We asking them that. We put it in the newspaper. We asked them to do a moratorium. They won't even answer me. I went to the parish council meeting on December 23rd. I never forget that. And I told them about the grave sites that Formosa have on the property. Do you think they respond? None of them answered me. None of them said a word. They just look at you. They have grave sites on that property. They want to desecrate the grave. We're not going to allow it. We had to get a court order to go on the grave sites on June the 19th to celebrate Juneteenth. They fought us. Oh, they fought us to the end. But the judge ruled in our favor. So we had a celebration. They didn't want us on the property. Oh, they tried all kind of things. Talking about they're gonna check my temperature. And they're not checking my temperature. The judge did not say they had to check our temperature. The judge didn't want a list of the bride's members. You don't need my list. The judge did not put that in the order. He said we can go on the grave site for 1 hour to have a celebration. Give us enough time to get on and get off. They kept us at the front part of the street to keep us from getting to the grave site on time. We were supposed to start at 11 o'clock. They didn't let us go to the back until about 11:20, 11:25. That shortened our hour, and I was pissed. They think they stole this. Oh, it just hurts me just to know. They think they're going to build right here? I don't think so.
That is Sharon Levine, an organizer and founder of Rise St. James, a grassroots organization fighting for the removal of harmful petrochemicals from her area. Sharon and community activists are fighting to stop a $9 billion petrochemical complex proposed by the Taiwanese conglomerate Formosa Plastics Groups. We're also joined today by Mark Schlefstein, environment reporter for the New Orleans Advocate Times-Picayune. Mark, you wanted to jump in there. First off, can you tell us more about what happens when these corporations come to town? As Sharon was saying,
sure.
Community members find out about things like a company buying a high school after it happens.
Right. So there are a couple of things going on here all at the same time. First of all, a lot of these chemical industry facilities are enticed by the state's economic development agency, which works with them and then works with local chambers of commerce or organizations like, you know, I think is exists in St. James, of industry representatives that are have identified property that is available for sale for large facilities, and that's what happened here. And so all of this is sort of kept quiet in the early days until there's a point in time when they actually have to do something, either sign the contracts for the land or start the permitting process. Once the permitting process begins, there is indeed a public process for doing it, but it's, you know, it's one of 1,000 permits every day that are out there, and it can be very difficult for locals to find out about what's going on. In addition to that, the historic makeup of the governments of these parishes have been largely, under the aegis of the industries that are in there because they're the largest taxpayers, and the result of that has been that they tend to have a heck of a lot more power in getting things done at the local level and also at the state level. The largest organizations in terms of attempting to sway the legislature is indeed the petrochemical industry in general, and the state's industry and business organization is dominated by the petrochemical industry as well. And so that really has a lot to do with where the money goes for elections and who gets elected and how the rules are played out for the State Department of Environmental Quality, as well as for other things.
Can you also talk about the investigation that you all wrote, which was a multi-part investigation? You focus on a number of issues related to what you're discussing right now, including, lax regulations, tax credits. We've also read articles about weak union protections, for example. Can you tell us more about that?
Sure. So, Louisiana is indeed a right-to-work state, and the efforts of industry over the years have pretty much shut out unions from the petrochemical facilities. There are a few that have union representation, but not much. In addition, one of the key issues here has to do with this whole question of is it Cancer Alley or Chemical Corridor? And the problem there has been trying to get quality studies done that actually look at the direct impact of specific chemical plants to illnesses that might occur around them. And there really has not been an effort to do that for years. The state basically put together statistics on cancers by parish rather than by either zip code or even smaller census tract areas. And the result of that has been that it's very difficult to show exactly what the cancer effects are of a specific industry. In addition to that, because of this great effort to limit things to looking at just cancer, some of the issues that are significant in these areas, including asthma especially, are just really overlooked. And they, it's very clear that these areas have a significant, much higher rate of asthma effects and asthma illness treatment, but it just doesn't get out there as being a problem, and so that's also a key issue that's going on. The other thing has to do with the way that the state regulations basically follow the federal regulations for what is emitted from the air, but does not follow even EPA's own recommendations about the intensity of emissions and the potential for effects. And that's one of the issues that Louisiana shares with other high emitting areas of the country, like Houston, where the regulations are based not on potential effects, but on some rules that EPA has put into place over time.
Well, we're going to take a quick break. That is Mark Schlufstein, environment reporter for the New Orleans Advocate, the Times-Picayune. Sharon Levine is an organizer and founder of Rise St. James, a grassroots organization fighting for the removal of harmful petrochemicals in Cancer Alley, which residents have named in Louisiana. Along an 85-mile stretch of the Mississippi River, towns and cities are surrounded by petrochemical plants and oil refineries. At Sharon's home, she's got 12 on the side, on her side of the river, and 9 on the other side of the river. Activists are fighting a $9.4 billion petrochemical complex proposed by the Taiwanese conglomerate Formosa Plastics Group. This is Your Calls One Planet series, and we'll be back after this. This is Your Call. I'm Rose Aguilar. Coming up tomorrow, we'll discuss the alarming number of COVID cases in California's prisons. San Quentin has over 1,380 confirmed cases. The California Institution for Women in Riverside County has 160 cases. Advocates and health experts have been warning about overcrowding and medically vulnerable inmates since the beginning of the pandemic. So why wasn't more done, and where are we today? That is tomorrow's show. Today, we are talking about the ongoing struggle for environmental justice in Louisiana's Cancer Alley. This is an 85-mile-long stretch of the Mississippi River. Towns and cities are surrounded by petrochemical companies and oil refineries. Sharon Levine is an organizer and founder of Rise St. James, a grassroots organization fighting for the removal of these harmful chemicals from the area. Sharon and her neighbors are fighting to stop a $9 billion petrochemical complex by Formosa Plastics Group. They say the plant will drastically increase toxic levels of cancer-causing chemicals in the area. Mark Shelfstein is environment reporter for the New Orleans Advocate, the Times-Picayune. Mark's reporting on Katrina was among the Times-Picayune stories honored with 2006 Pulitzer Prizes for public service and breaking news reporting. If you'd like to join us, the toll-free number is 866-798-8255, 866-798-8255. You can also email yourcall@kalw.org or tweet us at yourcallradio. Sharon, you talked earlier about the health issues that you have. There have been so many stories about health issues really affecting almost every household in the community. Is that right? You know at least 30 people who've died from cancer just in the past 5 years?
Oh, yes. It might be more. Yes. Everybody in this area has some kind of ailments. I just had a friend that died when the COVID-19 came out. It was in May. She passed away. She already had cancer and diabetes, and she contracted the virus, and she passed away. It's a whole lot of people. People mm-hmm. having all kind of problems. I'm telling you, cancer is the highest in this area, on both sides of the river, on the East Bank and the West Bank. And I was diagnosed with aluminum in my body last spring. Mm-hmm. And I was diagnosed with autoimmune hepatitis in 2016, not knowing it was coming from the industry until I did my research. So, yes, we have a whole lot of people over here with underlying conditions.
Mark, before we let you go, what can you tell us about health issues?
Well, the biggest problem right now actually is COVID, and there's been some research out that says that some of the emissions of these facilities exacerbate the problems of people in the community who live nearby. Small particulate matter is a key problem, and these communities have that problem at a much greater rate than other communities. And as a result, what we're seeing right now are higher levels of death in these communities along the river. When numbers of deaths per 10,000 population. In St. James Parish, for instance, there were, as of today, there have been 30 deaths for that parish. We're not talking about a significant population, but 21 of those were black and only 7 were white. And that's a sort of thing that we're seeing in other communities up and down the river, where there are increased death rates and more African Americans are dying than whites. That is in part because they live, my assumption is because they live near these facilities and are more exposed to the particulate matter and thus have the ability of combining that. But it's also a direct result of the underlying problems of throughout the state. The African American community is just not getting the healthcare services that they need anywhere near the same levels that whites are here.
And finally, just quickly, Mark, what are your thoughts on what will happen with this Formosa plastics plant? In January, a coalition of local and national groups launched a legal challenge to the state agency's decision to approve permits for this $9 billion complex. What's going to happen in the coming months?
Well, I wish I had good news. I'm really not sure how the opponents are going to be able to fight against the way the regulations are at the moment. I see a better potential being what is happening to the industry overall right now, that there might be some sort of reconsideration done by Formosa about whether or not this new facility will be cost effective for them. We've already seen one major cancellation upriver of an $11 billion proposed facility, and there's a chance that that might happen, but I'm not very hopeful for the fight against the permits. It's not something that has been successful that much in Louisiana.
Well, Mark, thank you for your work, and thank you for joining us.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Mark Schlefstein is the environment reporter for the New Orleans Advocate, the Times-Picayune, and you can find the lengthy investigation that Mark worked on with ProPublica, an investigative series called Polluter's Paradise, at yourcallradio.org. And staying with us for the rest of the hour is Sharon Levine, an organizer and founder of Rise St. James. This is an organization fighting for the removal of harmful petrochemicals from the area. Sharon has 12 of these plants on her side of the river, 9 on the other side of the river. If you have any questions or comments for Sharon Levine, you can join us at 866-798-8255. You can also email your call at kalw.org. Sharon, what are your thoughts? Mark says he's not hopeful that anything will happen. What do you think?
I'm hopeful.
Yeah.
I am very hopeful because, you know why I'm so hopeful? Because God told me to fight. When I took my problems to God, I told him what was going on, and I asked him what did he want me to do. If he wanted me to sell my home, sell my land, he told me no. And I didn't know what to do because these plants are coming in so fast. And he said, I asked him what to do. He told me to fight. So I have something on my side that Formosa don't have. I have the good Lord on my side. And I know Formosa is not coming. They're getting ready to break ground and everything, and they're getting ready to get the road and everything straight. I pass by there daily to check on them to see what's going on. We're going to fight them to the end. We will fight them. Formosa is not going to come 2 miles from my home.
And talking about this plant, Sharon, we've done a lot of shows about the plastics industry. Bloomberg had a story about how this mega factory is betting on a single-use future, basically single-use plastics. So in addition to emitting so much toxins in your area, there's even going to be more single-use plastic polluting the planet.
Yes. We don't need all this plastic. We have enough plastic. They're going to make single-use bags, you know, grocery bags. We can go back to paper. We don't have to have all this plastic. We have too much plastic as it is. And the stuff, the chemicals they're going to use to make the plastic is cancer-causing. So either way we go, we're going to still get cancer. We're getting cancer from the air, from the air that we breathe. We're getting it from the water that we drink. They put the chemicals in the river. Our river is so dirty. That's our drinking water. We can't even drink the water. I have to buy a filter. I wish I would have known this years ago. I had to come out of teaching to try to fight this plant. The public official said it was a done deal. They're telling me that my neighbors, the ones that are afraid, a lot of them are afraid, telling me that whatever these people want, they get it. They have money. I know they have money. But they're not going to get this one. I told them this is where it's going to stop. Formosa is not going to build 2 miles from my home and 1 mile from a Baptist church and the elementary school. So you want to poison our little children? The children from pre-K to third grade. How are they going to learn and comprehend if they breathe this toxic stuff in the air? These people don't care. These people are not from here. They don't care. Why don't they build? If they build their home 2 miles from where they want to build that plant, I'll shut up. Let all of them come build a house 2 miles from where they want to build that industry and live here. I don't mean just build a home. I mean live here. When you come to St. James, you stay here for about 2 hours, and you will leave with a headache.
Wow.
It's just that bad.
Mm.
And we don't have, people don't have money to pack up and leave. My daughter had to leave because she kept having a headache. The other one kept having sinus, kept going to the doctor for sinus. So what you want? You want everybody to just leave and let everything we have, everything we work for, and give it to them? I don't think so.
Mm. Speaking of the fear you're talking about, Sharon, the Louisiana Bucket Brigade has a mini documentary on their Facebook page called The Women of Cancer Alley.
Yes.
And the first story is by a woman who said that she had major health problems, but her doctor did not want to include the word Exxon in the papers about what she was dealing with.
Yes. That was Liz.
That was Liz.
Yes. Liz and her daughter live in Baton Rouge, and it was Exxon. And the doctors would not put on the paper that it was from the industry.
Mm. Can you name some of the other corporations? I think some of them, maybe a lot of us have never heard of, but in addition to Formosa, what are the other companies running these plants in your area?
One is called Argonne. One is called New Star. One is called Marathon. One is called Plains. One is called Mosea. One is called American Styrenics. One is called Valero. I have a whole list of it. It's on my papers in the house. And a bunch of them, it might be 100 and something tanks out here. If you watch the video with me and a general honoree, it's a three-minute video, you can see the tanks in that. And they shot a picture from the sky. You can see all the tanks. You see, when the sugar cane is high, you don't see the tanks. When they cut the cane, hey, you look and see, I didn't know all those tanks were there. We were here all our life. We didn't know they had built that many. I mean, they just run. They're running us out. Well, they're trying to. Our Catholic Church, they have tanks all by the Catholic Church. If these tanks have a leak or something, we are in danger. If Formosa building, they have an explosion, trust me, I don't think we'll be able to get out because we don't have an evacuation route. They close up the evacuation route that we had. It was in Birdland. They just close it up. They don't tell anybody anything. They come here and act like this place is for them. They shut off our levee. We can't even drive on a levee from one end of town to the next. We used to do that. They come here, they build a bridge over the highway and on top of the levee, and you can't pass. They block you from passing. They do whatever they want to do. They disregard the laws and the rules and everything. They just do whatever they want to do. Mm. Like there is no people that's living here. For the pandemic, the governor did a stay-home order on the 23rd of March. Formosa disregard the governor's stay-at-home order. They were out there digging and putting up utility poles, and I got a phone call. I was in my gown. I put on some clothes, go out there and see. I took pictures. I took video. Our parish council didn't know. They're blocking the main highway. We couldn't even pass. We had to wait to pass, ducking in and out. I called my parish council. He didn't know. He went to find out what was going on. Parish president didn't know. The sheriff didn't know. They do what they want to do because they have money. They disregard the rules and the regulations. And you're not supposed to dig if you're 1,500 feet from the levee whenever the river is high, and the river was high. So let us go out there and dig. They would put a fine on us. We couldn't dig to bury our loved ones at St. James Catholic Church. We had to set the bodies, the tombs on top of the ground until after the river go down. We just buried the other day because the river went down. But Formosa disregard all of that. So I busted them on that, and I did a live stream on March the 25th to let everybody know that Formosa did disregard the governor's stay-at-home order. They were out there building, trying to build anyway. And then after that, when I went on the property to go put flowers on the loved one's graves back there, they wouldn't let me pass. The security guard blocked the way, so I couldn't pass. So they told me to call the spokesperson. I said, well, give me her name and number. They gave me her name, but not her number. So I had to write a letter to her to ask her, can I go on the property? She said no. So my attorney wrote her attorney a letter, and they still said no. So we had to go to court, and the judge said yes. Those people are something, I'm telling you.
Sharon, we have an email from Heather. She says, what can we do? What can we do to support the work you're doing?
Talk to the governor. Ask the governor to stop this thing. The governor has the last say, so he can stop this. Ask her to call the governor. Bombard his office with letters, phone calls. We've been writing letters. I've been asking to meet with him. He will not meet with me. I asked the Louisiana Department of Environmental Quality to meet with me. When they met with me for 2 minutes, when he came to solicit votes to be reelected, the governor, and I asked him to stop Formosa from coming into my neighborhood, and he said he's going to do a health study. That was just to shoo me off. Bombard his office with phone calls. That's what you can do, if you don't mind. Please, whatever you can do, do it. We wrote letters. They want to answer the letters. Bombard his office with phone calls.
And the governor is John Bell Edwards. He's a Democrat. He's been the governor since 2016.
Yes.
We have another email, Sharon, from Dave, who says, God bless, Sharon. I live in Louisiana. I know that the state has legalized industrial hemp. I absolutely agree. We do not need so much plastic. My feeling is, in as much as we need plastic, we should be making it from hemp so we don't use these petrochemicals. Is there a way that farmers can get involved in this fight?
The farmers over here didn't bought a lot of the farmers' lands. They done bought a lot of their land and stuff. We still have a little bit left over here in St. James on my side of the river, but a lot of them that had a lot of land, acres and acres of land, they sold it to the industry for money. Mm-hmm. And a lot of them moved out. And Formosa's not the only one that's trying to come in here. We have one called South Louisiana Methanol. I did a live stream on them, too. I'm going to do as many as I can so people can see what's going on, how they're trying to poison us over here.
Sharon, can you tell us, at what point did you decide you were going to dedicate your life to this issue?
When God spoke to me in 2018, when I was upset, angry, crying, I thought I had to move, and I didn't want to move. And I really thought God was going to tell me to move. But after he told me no, I wanted to teach a little bit longer because I love what I was doing. I love the students that I taught.
What did
and
you
I
teach?
I love the school that I was working at. So I retired to do this full time. I do this 7 days a week. I can't rest until Formosa is gone.
Mm. What did you teach, Sharon?
I taught special ed.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah, I love those children. Mm-hmm.
Had you ever been involved in anything like this before?
Never in my life. Never did public speaking, never did anything. Just went. I went to work, went to church, and that was it. Yes, that was it. So all of this is new to me. Everything I'm doing is new. Everything.
Well, we just had a caller asking for the phone number for the governor of John Bell Edwards, and I'm looking for that right now. Let's see here. Contact the governor. Here we go. At 225-342-7015, or the toll-free number is 866-366-1121. That's 866-366-1121. Sharon, you have also testified, right?
Yes,
you testified in front of the Environment and Climate Change Subcommittee of the House Committee on Energy in November?
Yes, I did.
What was that experience like? Did any politicians approach you to talk to you about this?
You mean in Washington or at home? Or no, none of them.
None of them.
Not one. But when I spoke in Washington, the man that did the man speak it, I forgot his name. He came up to me to take a picture with me, and he thanked me for coming. Then one of the men on the panel, I don't know if he was from Virginia or wherever he was from, he was pretty nasty. Oh, I wish you luck, Sharon. Like it wasn't going to happen. Mm. Like I'm doing this, but it's not going to happen. That's the impression I got from him. So the others were sorrowful. They had sorrowful looks on their faces, and they wished me luck, and, you know, they were very nice.
In our remaining minutes, Sharon, you talked about the water. So you have to use a filter. I've also read that some people have to boil the water.
Oh, yes. There was the parish that sent out an advisory. Boil water. Don't drink the water. Yes. But look, all the years we were drinking the water and we didn't know they had these chemicals in the water.
Right.
Look how many years we did that. My brother said all of us probably got a bunch of got cancer in us. We just haven't found it yet. I have two brothers with cancer.
Mm.
So I bought a filter. I was tired of buying bottled water. I'm still paying for my filter. They filter the water and try to clean it much more than what we, you know, the parish cleans it. Sometimes you can smell the chlorine in the water. But I don't use that water to drink, and I don't use it to cook. So
how have these chemicals affected the wetlands in the area?
We can't really grow a garden. The chemicals in the air come down to the ground. And our birds, and we have few birds, few frogs. You don't see a robin. It's killing off the wildlife. It's killing things. It's killing our fruit trees. I have fig trees that died. I have a orange tree. It died. I have a lemon tree. It's barely living. So we used to have all kind of vegetables and fruits and everything. It's dying off more and more.
And you're not seeing as much wildlife?
No. Not seeing as much as we used to see, no.
What are you planning in the coming months, Sharon, given that COVID is an issue in the area, and you said that Formosa is already starting some of its work?
Yes, they are. We plan to continue doing our live stream whenever we can with our masks on, with social distancing. Whenever we hear things that's going on, we bring it to the public through live stream and through the newspaper. We have a parish council meeting on Wednesday. Two people going to present some things to the parish council. And one of the two people was arrested from the Bucket Brigade. They're helping us to try to save our community, and they were arrested in Baton Rouge. So we're going to be praying for them and trying to get the word out. And just like I said, still talking, trying to get a meeting with Governor John Bel Edwards. I wrote a letter to the Pope to ask him to talk to the governor or the Bishop of Baton Rouge to get them to halt this thing. And I'm also talking to people in Taiwan.
So, you're connecting with activists in Taiwan about this?
Yes. Oh, yes, indeed.
Mm-hmm. And what are you hearing?
Indeed.
What are you hearing from them?
They had a shareholders meeting on the 10th of June, and the lady said that they presented this. They have a video that where they was talking about us in Taiwan. They had our pictures and everything. And the shareholders people in that meeting, they still was against them halting the construction over here in Louisiana, in St. James. But we're still trying, and they're still trying to help us. And they also told us how people over there died, and the fishery and all that died, and people that can testify against Formosa and all that kind of stuff. So they're trying to help us as much as they can, and we're trying to get some information to present to the parish officials, begging them to halt this. I think that our public officials think that since they agreed to all of this and Formosa has all their permits, I think they don't think they have a leg to stand on. They think they can't do anything about it. But Formosa lied to them about so many different things so they can go back on those words with Formosa. So all we could do is continue asking our parish officials, our seven parish council members. So we had an ad in the paper last week and the week before. Now we're going to put another one this week telling them about the particulars 2.5 matter. So we have to educate our public. The public don't know. They don't know the effects of the chemicals. They're thinking they're just getting sick, because I thought like that for years, not associating it with the chemicals. So that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to educate the public. And since the pandemic came, it kind of slowed us down a little bit.
Right. Well,
but
Sharon, thank you.
To get the word out.
Thank you so much for all the work you do, and we'll be following this closely. We would love to have you back in the coming months.
Of course. Of course.
All right. Thank you, Sharon.
You're welcome.
Sharon Levine is an organizer and founder of Rise St. James. It's a grassroots faith-based organization fighting for the removal of harmful petrochemicals from the area. Sharon and her neighbors are fighting to stop a $9.4 billion petrochemical complex proposed by the Taiwanese conglomerate Formosa Plastics Group. They have a campaign called Stop Formosa. Activists say the plant will drastically increase toxic levels of cancer-causing chemicals in the area. You can find more information at yourcallradio.org. And again, the phone number for the governor of Louisiana is 866-366-1121 in case you would like to raise your voice on this issue. Thanks to Malihe Razazan for producing today's show. Thanks to Kevin Vance and Damian Miner for keeping our studio running. And thank you for joining us. I'm Rose Aguilar. It's your call.